Good morning and greetings in our Savior's name as we gather to worship with this online service. If we had been beginning at the sanctuary this morning, we would open with the hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Let us hear these words of the hymn. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, shelters thee under his wings, yes, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how all thy longings have been granted in what he ordaineth? Praise to the Lord, who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, if with his love he befriend thee. Praise to the Lord. O let all that is in me adore him. All that hath life and breath come now with praises before him. Let the Amen sound from his people again. Gladly, for I, we adore thee. Amen, and praise be to God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that we can offer praise, honor, and glory unto you this hour as we are able to gather in an act and attitude of worship. We pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit and that we would be drawn closer to you, not only as we worship, but in all that we do day by day, because we desperately want to be led by your Spirit in everything that we undertake. May we do so in the name of Jesus. And for this we praise you. Amen. We've been studying, as you well know, the book of Revelation, and we are in chapter 12. Last week, we discussed the rise of the first beast. Now, this person, human, is going to be very charming. He's going to be intelligent and in many ways irresistible. And yet, in the sight of God, he is referred to as a beast. This beast, the first beast, is set on world domination, and he is intent on replacing God. He demands to be worshipped. Incredible, really, when we think about it. Back in the Roman times, the Caesars eventually demanded to be worshipped, felt that somehow they became God. They, I believe, were inspired, if that's the word, by none other than Satan. Satan is going to influence the first beast, the Antichrist. This Antichrist is going to want to be worshipped. The first beast is human, controlled by Satan. The second beast that we're going to study this morning is also human, and he is also controlled by Satan. Now, Satan, we know, is known by many different titles. For example, he is called Satan, the evil one, the devil, the father of lies, a serpent, the enemy, the tempter, the accuser of the believers. But through it all, he is a deceiver through and through. He has one goal, overtake God's throne. Now, you and I, because we know the end of the story, as found in the book of Revelation, he is defeated. So therefore, between now and then, he's doing all within his power to attract as many to him as possible. Praise be to God that we, who are believers in Jesus Christ, are protected by his blood, and we will not fall into his trap. We need to continue to uphold the name of Jesus as our Savior and as our Lord. In studying the book of Revelation, we know that a trumpet is going to sound. Now, I believe that all believers will hear the trumpet. I think that unbelievers will not hear it, but we will hear it. And often we sing the hymn when the roll is called up yonder. Let us hear these words. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then, when all of life is over and our work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Now, my prayer is that when that trumpet sounds, when the roll is called, that you will be there. And you will be if you place all your trust in Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You don't trust it on your own merits or your own good works to get from here to glory, but rather you put all your trust in Jesus, who he is, what he's done for you. He died on the cross to pay for your sin. And when we acknowledge that, we claim him as Lord, then you will hear that trumpet. And for this, we praise God. All believers, when that trumpet sounds, will go up to be with Jesus. We'll meet him in the clouds, and we'll be with him in glory forever and forever. Unbelievers, however, will be left on earth. And while they are left on earth, a period of tribulation, 7 years, is going to begin. And during that seven-year period, there are going to be two world leaders, a world dictator and a world religious leader. From God's perspective, they are looked upon as being beasts, not the kind of individuals that they are going to portray themselves to be. This will be the Antichrist and the false prophet. The Antichrist, the world leader, the false prophet, the world religious leader. Now, the false prophet is the Antichrist's henchman. What do I mean by henchman? The dictionary definition is that this person engages in crime or violence in support of another. Believe me, the false prophet is going to engage in everything that he can think of in support of the false prophet. Now we're going to talk about the rising of the second beast. So let us refer to Revelation chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 11 through to and including verse 18. Let us hear the word of God. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf, and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the first image, the image of the first beast, so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning, we are going to look at the rise, the character, and the power of the second beast. That's what we looked at last week with the first beast. So now with the second beast, the rise of the false prophet. The scripture says, then I saw another beast. The word another is important. The word another means of the same kind. The first beast comes out of the sea, but the second beast comes out of earth. Now, we already discovered that coming out of the sea means representing all the nations, all the languages, all the kingdoms of the earth. What does coming out of the earth mean? Well, there are many prophecy teachers who believe that this means that the false prophet is going to rise up out of somewhere in the Middle East. And many believe it might even be out of Israel. Satan is involved in influencing this co-conspirator to the Antichrist. And this one is going to be even more ruthless than the first. Not only will he be controlling the minds of people, leading them all toward the Antichrist, but he will also have strong influence over their souls, that which lasts for eternity. Sadly, many, many people will follow the advice of this, the second beast. Like the first beast, the second beast is going to rise rapidly. Remember now, all true believers are gone. All that are left behind are not believers in Jesus Christ. Therefore, they are going to be easily led. Now, mind you, some of those will finally understand what it would mean to accept Christ as Savior, but the majority will not. The rise of the false prophet is going to be rapid. What about his character? We discover that he is equally evil, equally cunning, and equally deceptive. He simply cannot be trusted. Yet millions of people will be putting their trust in everything that he has to say. Millions of people will be following his example and following his leadership. I suspect that this false prophet, like the Antichrist, will be a great orator. He'll have great personal magnetism. He will have a scintillating personality. People will automatically be drawn to him. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 11, we read this, "Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon." Now, the first beast had 10 horns. This beast has two horns. The first beast has control over the population, over the political world. He has control over the military world, the military power. The second beast, though, he has control over the religious aspect or the spiritual aspect, and he has power in that area, and he exercises control. In verse 12, he exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. I was looking at all the descriptive words that we find in this passage of Scripture. He spoke like a dragon. Literally, he was a wolf in sheep's clothing. He looked like a lamb, had horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He made all the earth and its inhabitants. Think of the power of this one. He performed miraculous signs. He deceived people. He ordered them to worship the image of the first beast. He killed everyone. He forced everyone. This is absolutely incredible, the amount of power that this man has. He's going to direct people to acknowledge and worship the first beast. Satan has always wanted to be worshipped. Now, in order to get a fuller picture of this, we need to go back into the Old Testament, and we go back to the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah records the downfall of one called Lucifer. Lucifer became Satan or the devil. He wasn't always Satan or the devil. He was an angel of light as Lucifer. So in Isaiah chapter 14, beginning to read at verse 12, we begin to see how Lucifer had things in his mind to the point where he wanted to become God himself. It's known as the five I wills of Satan. So let us hear the word of God. It's found in Isaiah chapter 14. "How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star," or Lucifer, "a son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart," now here are the five wills, "I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. I will make myself like the Most High. You notice the emphasis on the personal pronoun, I. Five times, I will, he said. And then he wanted to make himself like the Most High. He wanted and wants to be worshipped like God himself is worshipped. However, this worship only is deserving to God himself. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, never ever to Satan. Satan's character is manifest in these two personages, the first beast, the second beast, the Antichrist, the false prophet. I remind us yet again, the Church of Jesus Christ is not on earth during this time. We are in heaven, in glory, with Jesus, enjoying all that he has to offer. Therefore, those who are left behind are the unbelievers. During this time, there's going to be one world government under the Antichrist, one world religion under the false prophet. One world religion concept and one world government, for that matter, these are not new concepts. People have been pushing toward those ends for a long period of time. But in terms of one world religion, the World Council of Churches has been pushing for this for a long period of time. The Pope has been bringing together, the present Pope has been bringing together all the Orthodox religions, the Russian Orthodox, the Greek Orthodox, the Ukrainian Orthodox, other Orthodox religions, under the Roman Catholic Church, if he could work it out. That's what he would like. He's also reached out to Muslims and to Hindus and to others. In fact, not long ago, he had a conference of all the religious heads of all of the religions that one could possibly think of. And sadly, I believe the Pope, if this is reported correctly, made a very bad statement, a wrong statement, an incorrect one. He said, we all worship the same God. The truth of the matter is, we don't all worship the same God. We can only truly worship God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This world religion, one world religion, is going to be accomplished during the tribulation period. We must remember, though, the words of Jesus. Jesus in John 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Very important distinction. No other religious leader, so-called religious leader, ever made this statement. But Jesus did, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And since Jesus is the whole truth, if one doesn't place his or her trust in Jesus, they will be heading to hell, not heading to heaven. Yet, millions and millions of people are going to be led astray during this tribulation period. The truth, so-called truth, the false truth, if I can use those two words, of the Antichrist and the false prophet will be leading people astray. Again, in Revelation 13:12, we read these words. He exercised, the second beast, all authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast. Now, note these words. Whose fatal wound had been healed. Whenever I read this passage, I think back to when J.F. Kennedy, was killed. You remember there was a gunshot and he was shot in the head. He had a fatal wound. He did not recover. However, it appears as though the Antichrist, the first beast, is going to have a fatal wound of some nature. The difference is, he is going to recover, and the entire world is going to be astounded. Many believe that this is yet another attempt of the Antichrist to emulate Jesus. We know that Jesus was killed, he was crucified, died on the cross, dead and buried, and rose again 3 days later. I don't know when the Antichrist, if he receives this fatal wound, will be brought back to life 3 days later. It'll be in the power of Satan. It will not be a resurrected body like that of Jesus. His rise is going to be rapid. His character is absolutely evil. And now the power of the false prophet. He will be a religious specialist. He will appear to have all of the answers. He will have the power of the first beast. Interesting, in this passage of Scripture, we discover that he exercises seven actions. What are they? Number one, he exercises unlimited authority. Number two, he forces people to worship. Number three, he performs great miracles, including calling fire down from heaven. He deceives all. He forces all to worship the image. We wonder what this image will be. Some have said perhaps it's just simply TV, or it may be a robot, or it may be a humanoid robot, perhaps a hologram. Whatever it is, it's going to be very convincing. Number six, he murders all nonconformists. And number seven, he forces people to get the mark of the beast. Now, the truth of the matter is, believers in Jesus Christ in the rapture have gone up to be with him. Those who are left behind are unbelievers. Some of them, the minority, will become believers. They must never, ever take this mark of the beast, because if they do, in the forehead or on the wrist, if they do, then they will be swearing their allegiance to the Antichrist. It's the mark of the beast. We'll talk more about the mark of the beast at a later time. This false prophet, this second beast, is a great counterfeiter. He performs miracles, as we already heard. He even breathes breath into this image, whatever it is, of the resurrected Antichrist. You remember back in the story of Moses when he visited Pharaoh. Moses took his staff, his rod, and threw it down, and it became a snake. And the two magicians in Pharaoh's court, they took their rods, their staffs, they threw them down, and they became snakes. Great magic occurred. Satanic magic occurred. Of course, the rest of the story is that Moses' serpent ate up the other two serpents, indicating that the God of Scripture was more powerful than the one who wants to be God by the name of Satan. Satan is going to give power to the Antichrist and power to the false prophet. What's the conclusion of the matter for us today? Troublous times are ahead, not for believers, but for unbelievers. The rapture is going to occur. That trumpet is going to sound. And my question to you is, are you ready? Christians are going up. Non-Christians are staying down. The great tribulation is going to occur for those who are left behind. It will be worldwide. The population left behind will be duped into following the Antichrist, duped into this by the false prophet. There will be a one-world religion to encourage them to do so. This unholy trinity, Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, will be working toward Satan's ultimate desire, and that is to be worshipped. Now, the truth of the matter is, as real as heaven is for all who put their trust in Jesus, so hell is also real. And it, while it was constructed, created for the devil and his followers, also those who refuse to accept Jesus will end up there. Now, mind you, during the tribulation period, there'll be 144,000 Jewish evangelists going throughout the world and explaining the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many people, praise be to God, will finally accept him. They will not escape the tribulation, and many will be martyred for their faith, but their eternity will be secure. Some people think that we who preach and teach the rapture occurring before the great tribulation is simply preaching escapism, to escape all that's going to happen. And in a sense, that's absolutely true. We do go through periods of tribulation here on earth, but nothing like what the great tribulation is going to be like. What's important, though, is not our escape, although that will happen. What is important is that our eternity is safe in Jesus. Remember what Jesus said. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. That's the sad part. Many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. My prayer is, if you're listening to this video this morning, that you have found it, that you've found the narrow gate, that you've put your trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you so much for revealing to us all that's going to happen, which really gives us an anxious moment because we are thinking about those whom we know, perhaps even our family members, who have not placed their trust in Jesus. Some of them know you but haven't accepted you as Savior. And Lord, we pray for them and pray, O God, that all will come to know you as Savior and Lord. Amen. And if we were concluding our service in the sanctuary today, we'd do so by singing that great hymn of the faith, "To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life, an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Great things he has taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But pure and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Let the people rejoice. Come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he has done. And he's done these great things for you and for me. Praise God. And now a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.